Hey, what is up? Welcome back to the podcast. You're listening to The Simple Complexity and you're talking to Rohan. What's up? How's your day going? I hope it's going great. Listen, I was watching this TV show yesterday I don't want to describe it too much because I'll get into that in a minute, but it's a show about a not so distant, possibly dystopian future. And I realized as I was watching it, it really was a reflection of people's attitudes here in the U.S. with regard to the political atmosphere here. Crazy, huh? If you want to know a little more about what I'm talking about, stick around and we'll dive deeper into what this means. How does a TV show inform anybody about the political atmosphere of any place? How does a TV show help you understand what people want from their politicians? How does a TV show tell you anything about real life? Okay, so without further ado, the TV show I'm referring to is a British TV show called Black Mirror. You're probably familiar with it. If you haven't seen it yet, please do. It's a dystopian-ish TV show that's set in the not-so-distant future. It involves a ton of these like massive, really insane, mind-boggling technological advancements with these really cool, you know, gizmos and gadgets that do all sorts of things. For example, there's this one where you have like this this device that is implanted into your eye that can record life as you experience it. Like, that's insane. But basically the whole thing behind the show, it's an anthropological show. So what you're doing is it's a series of different stories that are all set within the same universe that are not necessarily related to one another. And so I was watching this random episode. It was from season 2, I believe. Yeah, season 2, episode 3. It's called The Waldo Moment, if you're familiar with the show, or if you plan to watch it after this. Basically, here's the thing, okay, about this episode. It's not particularly anyone's favorite episode. And I think that it might just be because there's no real hook to it. I mean, it's mildly interesting, but it's not... it doesn't quite meet the expectations that other episodes have set. But generally speaking, this episode was interesting to me, and I'll get into that in a moment. But basically what the episode is about, in a very quick, small nutshell, without spoiling too many things for you, essentially it's an episode called The Waldo Moment. Waldo being this cartoon bear that is basically a part of this... this TV show in this episode, you know, this TV show, and it's like this segment of a, this part of this larger, like, political satire show, very similar to like something like The Daily Show that we all know of. And so basically the whole thing behind this bear is that it basically makes jokes at the expense of public figures and politicians, by way of like these interviews, that it hosts with these unsuspecting political figures or public figures who initially mistake this bear to be this cartoon figure from like a children's show. So, you know, they come in expecting, you know, these really innocent questions and things and are bombarded by really, you know, inappropriate questions that, you know, everyone laughs at and it's really funny. And this political figure is usually ridiculed by this whole affair. And essentially there's this, you know, everybody rallies behind this cartoon bear because it's like really funny and everyone enjoys it. And to build off of that growing momentum and fame, these TV executives decide they want to kind of take this to the next level. And they do that by basically trying to run this fake funny campaign for this bear, essentially. And weirdly enough, I mean, I won't spoil much for you. There's a lot more that happens in the episode, but essentially the bear does end up getting, you know, a good amount of attention from the public and people are... You know, some people are confused about why this bear is getting so much support, you know, it being a cartoon after all. And there's a moment in the show, in the episode, where they bring this cartoon bear alongside some of the other, you know, political candidates running for office and kind of have them seated, you know, together on the stage, essentially. And, you know, I believe it was one of the politicians, actually, who was being bombarded and, you know, basically laughed at by this cartoon bear, basically asks the public who are viewing this whole, this event, basically saying, you know, how could you possibly like this bear so much? Like, why is there so much support behind this bear? Why, like, what do you see in him, basically, right? And the response is basically that even though it's just a cartoon bear, even though Waldo is just a cartoon bear, there's something that's more real about and more authentic about that bear than any of the political people who are actually on that stage. They all seem more, you know, fictional than the bear itself. So I was thinking about that. There was something about this dialogue, this whole thing about this fictional bear being more real to the people than actual human beings who were running for office. There was something about that that kind of stuck out for me. It struck a chord in the sense that it seemed very, very familiar. And what I was thinking about, what it reminded me of, was back in the 2016 presidential election, when people looked at now President Donald Trump, you know, running for president, people were, you know, to say the least, they were pretty amused because, you know, if you weren't one of the people who were taking him very seriously as a candidate and actually wanted to hear what he had to say, people were, you know, were actually pretty amused by the fact that he was running for office and didn't take him quite seriously. The reason for that was primarily because he was, even though he was never really a public, he wasn't a political figure in that he never held office before, he was still a very public figure, and everybody knew him, not just from his experience as a successful businessman, but more importantly, some might say, from his experience on TV. He was a TV personality, having been a part of, you know, various reality TV shows that he himself was essentially the host of. For those of you who might be familiar with The Apprentice and stuff, you know what I'm talking about. And yeah, these were like really entertaining shows. I mean, I remember like watching them with my parents and with my brother back a couple years ago. Like, no, not a couple, many years ago. You know, like when I was a kid, and like I remember like watching that. Like everybody knew who Donald Trump was, right? And he has like that classic TV personality, and like very similar to like, you know, what we associate with like Simon Cowell or like, you know, Gordon Ramsay, with that really, you know, aggressive nature that, you know, that really makes people laugh because of how outrageous or how out there it is. And so people were familiar with his character, and he was pretty popular among the masses, right, for his TV appearances. And now you're taking him, that same character, and you're translating him into a real person, right, in that he's now coming off of the screen and he is entering into the political field, and he's running for office. But the interesting thing is, he doesn't seem to be any different. He seems to be the same Donald Trump that everyone is familiar with from this TV show, from actually any of the various TV shows he's been a part of. And it's like, you know, it's crazy to see that, okay, this guy, you know, who we were all entertained by on this other show and didn't take too seriously beyond that show, that he's actually running for one of the most serious positions in the entire country. So people had a hard time kind of grappling with that idea, and so as a result didn't take it very seriously. What ended up happening, though, you see this, what ended up happening with the election is, much to many people's surprise, he ended up winning the election and he became president. So, and people were left wondering, how did this happen? You know, how did this TV character essentially become president, right? And if, you know, there are all sorts of arguments and conspiracies and theories behind this, and we're not really going to get into any of that right now. But what I wanted to focus on was just that one fact that he, at the end of the day, regardless of what you thought of him, right, whether or not you agreed with the things he said, whether you liked or disliked his rhetoric, regardless of any of that, there was a quality to him that was undeniably true, you know, and that was his authenticity. So something that really stood out about Donald Trump, something that set him apart from all of the other candidates, was the fact that he was very genuine and he made people feel that he was, that he was being honest, right? And so, yeah, you know, he was saying a lot of things. A lot of his language was unprofessional, unparliamentary, and all of that, right? You know, he's very far from what you expect from a traditional, you know, presidential or diplomatic candidate. But this man, I mean, there's something about him that really struck a chord with the American public. And people kept asking themselves, and they continue to ask themselves today as we head into the next set of elections, what is it that the American people want, and what did they see in him that none of the other candidates could have offered? Why do people vote for this, you know, extremely different character, this candidate who is so far away from the general norm for a person running for office? And so, you know, I think what it comes down to was, you know, set aside the ideas, set aside the language, set aside his tweeting tendencies. Coming down to the basics, this man, right, I mean, President Trump, he is extremely genuine. He's very honest as self. And, you know, regardless of whether that is truly, you know, actually who he is, and only people who are part of his family probably could really say for certain, but, I mean, regardless of that, he at least makes people feel like he's genuine in a way that no other candidate has been able to do successfully. You know, and it might just be because, you know, he has this, you know, already this pre-existing rapport with the American public because he's this TV personality. So people feel like they've already gotten an inside look into his life and persona before he came into the political field. Whereas in the case of many candidates, unless you're like from their state and you're actively involved with the politics of that state, and this is like your governor or something like that running for office, you know, you're not usually very familiar with the characteristics and personalities of these individual politicians or these candidates running for office. You don't know much about them until they're running for office. That wasn't the case with Donald Trump. Everybody knew about him and what he was like before he ran for office. And you know, that's the thing about him. That was Donald Trump. And people knew what to expect from him. He wasn't a surprise. And so that's what I think it came down to. If, you know, the more I thought about it, the more it seemed to make sense to me. When you're in that ballot and you're placing a vote and you have an option, or you have multiple options to choose from, but there's only one option that makes you feel like this is genuine, this is honest, and I know what this person is like, and I know, you know, that whatever they say, whatever they feel passionate about are things that they genuinely feel passionate about, right? If I have that, you know, up against a bunch of other options that I'm not feeling very certain about, that I feel like are just saying things that are fed to them by PR analysts or by, you know, other, you know, trained professionals, you know, things that they're just being fed, things that they're meant or expected to say that they don't genuinely feel for, that they don't or may not actually be passionate for, you know, if those are the options that are up against each other, then I feel like it makes sense for the commoner to just go for the person that they feel is being authentic and genuine. Because even if you don't agree with all of their points, and if you don't agree with every single part of them and don't necessarily, you know, like every aspect of that person, at the end of the day, for those few, two or three things that you do really agree with them on, you're sure that they're going to take that seriously because you know that this is an honest person who wants to do honest work. As opposed to a person who is just saying things because they're expected to say things as a politician, or that, you know, because they have people on their team who have been doing research and know that these are the buzzwords that the public's looking for. You know, a lot of politicians give off this ingenuine vibe to a lot of the people who, you know, watch these debates or keep up with politics. People feel like they can't trust these political figures or these candidates running for office. And that's a major problem. You're talking about the most politically important role in the entire country, somebody who's really deciding the future of this nation, right? How can you possibly elect a person that you don't trust? And so, you know, with this upcoming election, there are a lot of questions that people are asking about who could possibly replace the sitting president. You know, he obviously has an overwhelming amount of support, more support than you could possibly imagine, or rather more support than you would have imagined, right? There's a lot of support for the president, and people are wondering, well, how do we even replace that? What do we even do to compete with that kind of support? The way to do that, in my opinion, is you have to be authentic, you have to be genuine, you have to be real, and you have to convince the people that you're real. And that sometimes means, you know, not having a filter in certain cases. Now, here's the thing. I don't think that you have to be foul-mouthed to come across as authentic. I don't think you have to use cuss words to be authentic. I don't think you have to constantly, you know, I don't think you have to do all that kind of stuff to be authentic. I think people are more or less good at being able to gauge whether a person is being real, being authentic, being honest with them. And there's just a way that you're able to pick up on stuff like that. And it comes through their body language. It comes through the things you talk about. And it's a lot easier for politicians, honestly. You know, it's a lot easier for them to be authentic and genuine, to really just talk about the things that they actually feel passionate about. Because if they're putting up a front and if they're talking about things that they're not necessarily passionate about, but have to talk about because they think that people expect them to talk about it, then they start to slip up. You know, there are like conflicts, you know, they say one thing in one place and another thing in another place. And before you know it, they bring that up every other night during the Democratic or the Republican debates, you know, and that becomes the focus of the discussion. And all of a sudden people are like, who is this person? You know, are you even authentic? Are you genuine? And that just throws everything under the bus. You know, everything's gone to waste because trust is the fundamental factor when it comes to running for office. I think if people don't trust you, there's no way you're winning that office. And I think a key person to learn from when it comes to this, not, you know, outside of Donald Trump, like we've been talking about, is actually Hillary Clinton, who ran against him. People were pretty staunchly under the belief that that Hillary would actually win office. It seemed really believable. She was a very strong female candidate who seemed to be building off of this, you know, pretty successful momentum that she had going for her, and everything seemed to be going in her direction, except for the fact that there were these, you know, these FBI investigations and these reports that were coming out that were basically speaking against her trustworthiness, and people were suddenly questioning whether they could trust her. They weren't sure if she was going to be honest to them, and obviously that's going to raise a lot of really important questions. And you can see that despite the fact that she had a pretty great platform overall, despite the fact that she was, you know, she was trying to be as relevant to the younger generation as possible, you know, shout out to all those all those memes she tried to make, or those jokes she tried to make and stuff to try and be relevant and basically get in touch with this younger generation, right? Despite all of those attempts that she made a lot, none of those mattered at the end of the day, because people still felt like when they got into that ballot and they looked at her name and his, they didn't know if they knew the real Hillary Clinton. They didn't know if she would really stand by the things that she was telling them. And that's a major problem when you can't trust a person that, you know, ideally should be the most trusted person in the nation, relatively speaking, right? So, quick little detour. I have a number of different podcasts that I love to listen to, and one of my favorites of all time is this one that's called The Daily. It's run by the New York Times, and if you haven't heard it before, please listen. Go ahead and listen to it after this episode. But essentially, there's one episode of the Daily that covered one of the more popular candidates coming out of the Democratic Party for running for president, and her name is Kamala Harris. And the thing with Kamala Harris, in this episode, they were discussing some of the popularity issues that she was having. The thing was, there was a point where her popularity just seemed to be on the rise. Like, it was just constantly building. People just trusted her. People liked her a lot. Her personality is strong. It is, you know, it's comforting, and she seems like she's got a great platform going for her. She has, you know, experience in the political field. She's got, you know, it seems like she's a very relevant person, and it makes sense that she's running for office. People can trust her, you know, or so they felt. And then that's kind of where a lot of questions started to be asked about that trust, not necessarily because of any scandals or anything as much, even though there were a lot of questions actually about her past in the judicial system. But more importantly, people were wondering, like, who is she? In the sense, like, they never felt like they knew who she was. And the reason they felt that way is because she wasn't like other candidates. You know, a lot of the other candidates were labeling themselves a certain way. For example, you might have Bernie Sanders, who says he proudly that he's like, you know, kind of like a socialist, right? And you have other people like that who categorize themselves so that it's easier for the public to kind of be able to determine or predict what they might feel about a certain issue, or, you know, essentially it helps them build a more well-rounded image of who this person might be or what they might be like, right? It helps them, it helps the person from the public generate a character profile for each of these candidates and get to know them more, like, better. And that makes it easier for them to throw their support behind a particular candidate. But when it came to Kamala Harris, she didn't seem to be one of those people. She never really labeled herself. She never generalized what her beliefs were. And that made it difficult for people to kind of figure her out. You know, people didn't know, okay, if I present you with this issue, you know, what is it that Kamala Harris would say? Nobody had an answer. Nobody really knew for sure. I mean, some people had an idea. She might lean towards this or that, but nobody knew for sure. Like, this is something that she would say, or this is a policy she would be completely wholeheartedly, you know, for, or this is something that she'd hate. You know, nobody knew. And even though on paper that sounds great, like, you know, she's here not to, you know, she's not here to just stick to one ideology. She's here to do what is the best thing to do in that moment, given the facts. And she wants to do, you know, she wants to make genuine progress. Like, that entire spiel, it makes sense and it sounds great. But here's the problem with it. People don't know if they can trust her now. Not in the same way as the distrust that they felt with Hillary Clinton, necessarily. It's not like that. But people still don't know, like, who is she then? You know, like, she's running for office. She says all these things. But who is she, you know? And you always feel like when you know a person, you can almost predict what they would say about a certain thing. When you think about your friends, think about your parents, or think about your siblings. If there's an issue that comes up, you can almost immediately, like, imagine how they might react to a situation, right? That's kind of how I think people gauge how well they can trust a person's authenticity. You know, if you can do that pretty accurately, and which I think people can do for President Trump for the most part, right? If you're able to almost accurately predict with how they might react to a specific thing, then it helps you feel like you can trust them. It helps, or if not trust them, it helps you feel like this is a person who's genuine. This is a person who's honest, who's real, right? So coming back to, you know, the major question of this whole thing, what do the American people want? What are they looking for with these next elections coming up? Now, of course, I'm no political guru. I don't have enough knowledge to be able to analyze things too in depth. You know, I couldn't give real advice. But here's the thing. Here's my takeaway. I think that if you're a political candidate running for office right now, if you're eyeing that Oval Office, all I can say is do your best to get the trust of the American people back up. If you can make people feel like you're being honest and that you're being genuine and that the words that you're saying are truly your own and are really coming out of your soul and are not just words off of a script handed to you by somebody else, some like PR manager or something. If you can get the people to feel like they can resonate with your personality, if you can get people to feel like this is not a front and that this is the real you and that you're really putting yourself out there, you know, kind of bare and exposed to the public, right? If you can make people feel that way, it's going to go an insanely long way for you. I think it could really be, you know, a make or break characteristic to your campaign. And if you're somehow able to add that level of trust and honesty to your campaign, then I think it's going to do wonders for you and that you're going to be leap years ahead of some of the candidates running for office. Not just today, not just tomorrow, but any time in history, because trust is one of the fundamental factors that really drives our decision-making. And if you're not able to provide that minimal level of trust that a voter needs to be able to put their vote for you, then you can't expect them to do that. So, if you're a candidate running for office and you're for some reason listening to this podcast, or if you're somebody who knows somebody else who knows somebody running for office, we'll tell them that I told them that they should try working on that genuine part, working on being authentic. It's worth it. It might be a lot of work, might be kind of tiring, you know. It is tiring because it's definitely comfortable to just be told what to say or to try and act a certain way. But when you get real, when you get genuine and make people feel like you're genuine, I mean, the rest really just takes care of itself. And, you know, if you don't want to learn from President Trump and the example that he set, Well, then learn from, you know, even Barack Obama, you know, like the overwhelming support that he got. Why do people still love Obama so much? It's because, he's extremely charismatic. Yeah, he made a lot of great decisions. But at the end of the day, he was also so genuine. He was so real. You know, he seems like if I were to meet him just this very moment, caught him off guard on the street, he would still be the Obama that we all watch on TV. You know, he would still be the same guy. He's the same guy, you know? And I feel like if you kind of go back in history, a lot of the choices, a lot of the voting decisions that were made in the past, I think had a lot to do with trust. So, yeah, trust. That's how you get into the Oval Office. So coming back to, I guess, the main point that brought us here, that moment in this TV show that I saw, Black Mirror, this moment in this episode called The Real Waldo, where Waldo tells the people, and to the face of one of the politicians fighting against him, saying that he is more real, as a fictional bear, he is more real than the actual human political candidates running for that same office. You know, that moment, I hope you can kind of see how it kind of relates and is relevant to the political atmosphere that's currently in the United States. People are looking for someone genuine, looking for someone authentic, someone they can trust, you know. So if you ever, after listening to this episode, if you feel like, hey, I want to run for office eventually, just work on that. Work on your trust. And, you know, honesty really is the best policy. That thing just never leaves you. You know, they tell that to you as a kid. Honestly, it's the truth. It looks like that is your ticket to the most powerful position in the country. Yeah, honesty is the best policy. And it's almost funnier when you think about, you know, policy, because politics, get it? Wow, Rohan, you're so funny. insert pity laughs here. Moving on. Yeah. So that is my excellent insight. Huge, you know, air quotations over those, over the excellent, you know. Obviously, this is super amateur, of course. I am no political, you know, expert, no political analyst. But, you know, I don't think it takes a political analyst to figure this thing out. And I hope this makes sense. And even if it doesn't, let me know why it doesn't make sense to you. I'd love to hear back from you. And I've mentioned this before in other episodes, but I have an email, thesimplecomplexity1@gmail.com. One is the number one, not spelled out. And if you email thesimplecomplexity1@gmail.com, we can have a conversation about this. We can take this somewhere else and keep this going, you know? And I love this to be a two-way street. I don't want to be just talking at you for a little while. I don't want this to be just a one-sided monologue. I want this to be a dialogue, more of a conversation. And I would love, you know, to have that with you. I made this email in the first place to set it up to facilitate that conversation, and I hope that we can utilize that that avenue. But yeah, I would love to hear what you think, whether you agree with me or disagree with me, or any of the other thoughts or revelations that you might have similar to this one. And if you have any other ideas, things that you want to see me discuss on this podcast, shoot those ideas my way as well. I'd love to hear them, you know. And if you haven't figured it out by now, like most other podcasters, I love talking. So shoot me your ideas, and let's see if you have anything in there that I'd love to talk about. So once again, thank you so much for stopping by and listening to this episode of The Simple Complexity. You've been talking to Rohan. I hope you have a fantastic rest of your day. Stick around, listen to the other episodes. And if you've already heard them all, I can't wait to see you at the next one. See ya.